So is sicher nicht, was aber ich esse Shagun River, wenn Yehudim sagt, der Shabbos darf Samach Wav. Sagt die Mishnah, if someone's missing a foot, Rav Meir says he's allowed to go out with a wooden foot, it's considered to be a shoe. Rav Yossi says he's not allowed to do so on Shabbos. If the wooden foot has a receptacle where you can put like cushiony material to make it comfortable, it becomes Tameh, the foot, because it's considered to be a Keli. The receptacle area makes it a Keli. Someone's missing both feet and goes out with leather that he puts under his legs for support, so they, first of all, they are Mekabel Tumas Medrus because he fully leans on them. Also, but he is also allowed to go into the Azara with them because they're not considered to be shoes because they're not worn on the bottom of the feet. But he could go out with them on Shabbos. Someone who has neither of his legs, he would go out with a chair and some supports so he'd be able to sit and push himself around. So these are Mekabel Tumas Medrus because they fully support him. They cannot be worn into the Azara because they're considered to be shoes because they are worn at the bottom of his leg stumps. He's not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. With regard to Lo Kitman, which we'll see later in the Gemara what that means, they are not Kalim, and therefore they're not Mekabel Tuma, and also you're not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. Zok the Gemara, so although our Mishnah said that, or Meir said that that someone, an amputee, is allowed to go out with a wooden leg, there were many who held that had the gear said it was Rav Meir who did not allow it, and it was Rav Yossi who did allow it. We actually find, though, that Rav said like our Mishnah said. We find that Shmuel also ended up saying like the gear that we have in our Mishnah. We find that Rav Huna also changed his mind and eventually held like the Gerser in our Mishnah. Mishnah said, "V'im yesh lo beis kibbul k'sisin tamei." Abaye says this wooden foot, when it has a beis kibbul to put a cushion there, it can only, when we say it becomes tamei, it can become tamei al tumis mace. It can't become tamei tumis medrash because he doesn't support himself enough on it. So it's more like a cane, which would not become tamei tumis medrash because the person doesn't fully support himself on it. Rav said it actually is mekabel tumis medrash, just like the wagon of a child is considered to be become tamei al tumis medrash because he supports himself on it, and it's not like a cane because a cane is only leaned on, but over here on this leg, he actually much more fully supports himself on. Mishnah said, "Tmei and Medrus vein yoytzmen b'shavus vein nechnasim b'lem lazor." Mishnah was talking about that chair and the special leg supports for someone who has no use of his legs. A Tana taught in front of Rabbi Yochanan that someone's allowed to walk into the Azara with this. Rabbi Yochanan said, "I hold that this is considered to be a shoe that you can use for chalitza, and you say that you're allowed to walk into the Azara with it. Rather, change your gearset to say that you're not allowed to walk into the Azara with it." Mishnah said, "Loikitmin is tahira." Rabbi Avoh explains that this is referring to like a fake donkey that's carried on the shoulders of a clown and makes it look like the donkey is riding on top of the clown. Rav Bar Papa says that there are sticks that they walk in muddy areas like stilts, and Rav Bar Huna says that they're masks that they're used to play with the children, to scare the children. Zok the Mishnah, young boys are allowed to go out with kesharim, see what that means, and princes are allowed to go out wearing bells on their clothing. In truth, all people may go out wearing bells, but the Mishnah is talking in the terms of what was customary, which was that princes were the ones who walked out with wearing bells attached to their clothing. What are kesharim, in fact, the Gemara? So Rav Adam Mori, in the name of Nachman Bar Baruch, in the name of Ashi Bar Ovin, in the name of Yehuda, says they're the knots of a certain plant that were worn for purposes of refuah. Abaye said that the woman who raised him said that if you wear three of these, if someone's sick and he wears three of these, it contains the sickness from getting worse. Wearing five of them actually removes the sickness. Wearing seven of them is even effective against shadim. Rabbi Yaakov said wearing this plant is only effective if the plant has never been exposed to the sun or to the moonlight or to rain or to the clanking of metal or to the sound of a rooster or to the sound of footsteps. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, based on this, the plant is useless because it's virtually impossible that it wasn't exposed to at least one of these. Mari asks, if this is what kshar means, then why is it limited to boys? Why don't girls also need this refuah? And also, why only to young boys? I mean, l'chayra, all boys should need this type of refuah. Rather, we'll say that Ksharim is like Oven Bar Huna, in the name of Chum Bar Gurya, said that when a son is very sick for yearning for his father, missing his father very much, you take the strap, the father takes his right shoe strap and he ties it onto the boy's left arm, and somehow that gets rid of this very depressed feeling. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, the way to remember this is tefillin, which also you put on the person's left arm. However, if you took from the left shoe and you put it on the right arm, that would actually be a very big sakana for the child. Where it brings a number of memories of Oven Bar Huna in the name of Chum Bar Gurya. One, he said you can put a hot cup on someone's stomach to relieve pain. He also said you can smear oil and salt on the palms and of the hands and the feet to help with someone who was intoxicated. He also said you can fix a displaced neck bone on Shabbos. They would do so by like hanging themselves by the head and the bone would snap back into place. He also said you're allowed to swaddle a baby to straighten out its bones on Shabbos. Abaye said that the woman who raised him told him that in order to be effective, all the spells that are used and said should be used saying the mother's name of the one who needs the help. Also, if a spell says how many times it should be said, you follow it. If not, it should be said 41 times. Bryce says a woman is allowed to go out on Shabbos with a stone that prevents miscarriages. Rav Meir says even something weighed against that stone also would prevent a miscarriage, and that also could be worn on Shabbos. And it could even be worn by a woman who never even had a miscarriage, and even by a woman who's not even yet pregnant. The name of Abaye said that thing that was weighed against that stone must be exact weight without having to add or subtract from it in order for it to be effective. Abaye asked, what about using something that was weighed against the thing that was weighed against the stone? The verse says, Teku. Abaye said, to combat a daily fever, you take a white zuz and you take it and weigh it against sea salt. You take that amount of salt and you tie it to the neck of the shirt with a strand of hair. If that can't be done, you sit at the crossroads and find an ant that's carrying a load. You take the ant, you put it in a copper tube, seal it with lead and 60 other seals, shake the tube and say, may my burden should go on you and your burden should go on me. Racha, the son of Rav Huna, said to Rav Ashi, that's dangerous because maybe someone else has already put their burden on the ant and now you're taking that other person's burden. So rather you say, my burden and your burden should go on you and leave me alone. If that can't be done, takes a new pitcher, goes to the river and says a whole lachash. And then after saying a lachash, he twirls the pitcher around him 7 times and says some more lachash, and that way it would remove this fever.